Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be continuing in his series from Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 to 31, with a message entitled, Children of Promise. Father, bless your word, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 4, and I'm reading from verses 21 to 31. The Apostle Paul writes, Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these two women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai bearing children, who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, barren woman, who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. I wish to speak with you about children of promise. And this is what Paul indeed declares believers, those who follow Jesus Christ, those who delight in salvation full and free, saved by grace through faith. This is what the Apostle Paul declares us to be, children of promise. And let me add in that word, children of confident promise, because each of us have had in this world promises which have been made to us whereby we have been disappointed. But we need to understand this is not a human promise. This is not something that a person has made to us. It is what God has declared of us, and it is what He promises. And what God promises, He most certainly, assuredly, He fulfills. Let's consider these verses, which conclude Galatians chapter 4, and Paul's movement as he appeals, as he speaks at times most sternly to the Galatians about their relationship with Christ, how that they have veered away, how that they have been so foolish, how that they have even been entranced, they have been bewitched into thinking that they could earn their salvation, that the salvation was indeed by grace in addition to their works and the effort that they put into it. Paul is heavy-hearted, and he continues to plead with the Galatians in this manner. He begins in verse 21 of Galatians 4, Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? Who of us have not heard someone complain, likely at considerable length, a person complain about people who complain? And you want to stand back and you wonder, am I hearing this right? Here is a lengthy complaint, and perhaps it isn't simply stated once. Perhaps you have heard it repeatedly from this individual, a complaining about people who complain. And you want to say, if you have the gumption to, you want to say to the people, you want to say, are you listening to yourself? Do you not see what is going on here? Or it might be another situation whereby there is such a clashing of what the person does and what they are saying that they believe in or what they speak. There is such a clash. There is such a problem, an inner turmoil. And Paul, he says for the Galatians, all right, now, Paul had been one who knew the law inside and out. He had worked within that system, we might say. And he comes as an expert, more of an expert than any of them might ever aspire to be. And Paul, he is, as a instructor, he is saying, all right, let's come into the classroom and let me ask you some questions. Tell me the answer to my question. You who want to be under the law, you think that there is some merit to that. You think that by obeying the laws of Moses as ones who have come into salvation full and free, you imagine that there is something additionally to be gained by that, by the ceremony, by the keeping of the calendar, by various dietary rules. You imagine that there is something whereby you might augment, that you might add more joy to your salvation. Paul says, let's carefully consider this, is that you are not augmenting anything. You are actually subtracting from your joy. You are actually subtracting from the confidence that you have in Christ. You are pulling back, you are pulling away from grace, you are pulling away from the faith which has brought you to the standing wherein you are. And Paul says, tell me, do you not listen to what the law says, you who so desperately clamor in order to aspire and to move toward the law, those who have instructed you falsely? Do you not consider the outcome of their way? And Paul, in these verses, he takes us way back into Genesis and the life of Abraham. And Abraham had Sarah, his wife, and he also had Hagar, his wife's handmaid, who Sarah said to Abraham, look, you take Hagar, and maybe through her. How regrettable it was that Hagar had become also Abraham's wife through the scheming of Sarah in order that they might have a child. Time was continuing to go by, and Sarah said, look, let's take plan B. Plan A doesn't seem to be working. God had promised us a posterity, but it just isn't happening. Maybe we need to help God along. That's exactly what these teachers that Paul refers to in Galatians, these false teachers, they are ones who would come and say, let's help God along. We're not sure that he has everything as tightly tidied up and nicely knit up as we imagine that he does. And so they're saying, let's help God along. That's what Sarah wanted to do. And unfortunately, a child was born, and Hagar became the wife of Abraham. But there was a difference between the two, a vast difference. Isaac, who would be subsequently born, he was the son of the promise. He was the one who God said, look, you are going to have a son of your very own. And it will not be by another woman, it will be through Sarah. God making quite an amazing declaration there. Abraham, you're old, and Sarah is old. I know you have never had children, and it's ever so much more incredible that you never had a child, and now in your old age, you're going to do so. But God here, he's saying there is a vast difference between the two. And Paul, he says, it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. Hagar, she was a slave. She was a piece of property in that culture, in that day. That was something that was there. We do not agree with that, but that was a part of what it was. She was a bond woman, we say. Sarah, the wife, she was the free woman. Paul goes on to say, the son of the bond woman was born according to the flesh. It was by the scheming of the flesh. It was by the design of the flesh. It was by the intent of natural fleshly movement. But Paul says, the son of the free woman through the promise. You see, Abraham and Sarah, they simply held on to what God said would happen. And they trusted in him. And so, in the course of time, it took place. Paul here then says, now, here is an allegory. Here is something that I am extrapolating from history, and here is a lesson to be learned from these two who in history were so very different. Hagar and Sarah were very different, and Ishmael and Isaac were very different indeed. Paul says, verse 24, I'm speaking allegorically, for these two women are two covenants, one which was according to law, which was according to Moses, it was according to Sinai, and the other is New Jerusalem. It is not the Jerusalem of this world, where there was temple sacrifice, where there was blood that was shed of animals, rivers of blood that flowed from the temple in Jerusalem into the Kidron. They said that the Kidron constantly flowed red from the blood that was let out in the temple. Paul is saying there are two different covenants that are taking place here. The one tied up allegorically with Hagar, and she is Mount Sinai, which corresponds to the present Jerusalem. Paul says in his day, Jerusalem still stood. The Romans had not marched in to decimate it. It was still there. He says it corresponds to present Jerusalem, for that Jerusalem is in slavery. There's blinders over the eyes. There's a veil that is dropped in front of the faces of these people. They cannot see who Jesus was, that he had come to be the sacrifice, the final sacrifice for the sins of the people. These people are blind. They're yet in slavery. And then Paul in verse 26 says, but there is another one. There is another covenant. The Jerusalem above is free, and that is who we tie to. She is our mother. We gladly link together with the Jerusalem above, which is free. And in verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, and you, brethren, you Galatians, you believers, wherever you are situated, whether it be in the first century or whether it now be in the 21st century, Paul says, "And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise." What a beautiful title that is. What a glorious title it is to be considered children of promise. How is it that we are children of promise? It is that we have looked to Jesus Christ and our confidence is completely in Him. Abraham, he did not have any confidence. We read about this, for instance, in Romans. Paul spoke extensively about this. Abraham considered the deadness of his own body as he was approaching the age of 100. He considered the deadness of Sarah's womb as she was approaching the age of 90. Yet, in regard to the promise of God, God had said to him, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, God had said to him, "Abram, I am going to make of you a great people. I will give you a land, and through you and through your posterity, I will bring blessing into this world." And Abraham, he considered all of the things which were against the promise. What Paul was saying in Romans was that Abraham was not a dummy. He was not a fool. He was not someone who said, "Well, I don't know how it works, but I just know that it's going to happen." He understood, and yet he held on to the promise of God, and he said, "Even though every other voice would speak against this, I know that God will fulfill His promise and that He will carry the day. He will be true to His word. He will be true to His promise." That is how it is with us. Jesus Christ has come to be the sacrifice for our sin. And we may not understand all of the details. We may study long and hard. It doesn't make sense that He should die in our place and that we go free. But God has made His promise to us that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As we believe in Him, His promise is that we might have everlasting life. The next verse of John 3 says that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. That is God's word. It is His declaration of why Jesus was sent into the world. Not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. These promises, the assurance of heaven on ahead, Jesus, as He spoke in John chapter 14 to His disciples, shortly before He was to go to the cross and later to ascend into heaven, having been raised out of the stone-cold tomb. He speaks to His disciples in John chapter 14 that He was going to His Father's house. And He said to them, "You know the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I go to prepare a place for you." Indeed, He has. Coming back now to Galatians chapter 4, "You, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise." And Paul is once again saying, "Do not listen to those who would tack something on to the salvation of God's grace, the free gift that He offers you. Do not listen to those who would add a price tag to the grace of God and would say to you, 'Now, if you want this, you need to pay.' What we do in service, we do gladly, we do joyfully, we do thankfully. But there is no price tag It is a free gift that God gives to us. And Paul here is saying, you are children of promise. Don't listen to those who would bewitch you, who would trap you, who would ensnare you into their thinking. Verse 29 of Galatians 4. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. We know that when Isaac was weaned as just a little child, there was a taunt that was made by Ishmael toward Isaac. Ishmael, he was several years older than Isaac, and how natural it is for two brothers, especially the older towards the younger, for there to be a taunt, for there to be a tease, for there to be a mockery. So it was in that situation, in that home. And so it is even now, and once again, Paul is drawing a comparison between those who trust in Christ and in Christ alone. Some would say, why do you make such a big deal of this? It's the same concern that the Reformers 500 years ago drew against the church of that day, that there were other things that were being added to the grace of God. People having to conduct masses and to give of their money in order for them to know that they had eternal life, or to imagine that they knew that they had eternal life. God's grace was simply offered to them as freely to them as it is to us. But the teaching of the church 500 years ago had become twisted. It had become everything that Paul here speaks against as he addresses the Galatians. He is desperately concerned that there not be a twisting, that there not be a manipulation of the gospel. So Paul here, he says, there was a taunting. There was, as he says in verse 29, there was a persecuting of the one to the other. And Paul, he says, there is a remedy. There is a solution to be had. Sarah spoke to Abraham and said, look, I'm not going to have this mockery, this taunting. I am not going to put up with this, that my child be treated in this way. Cast out Hagar and Ishmael. That was a heaviness to Abraham. God spoke to him and said, Abraham, it's all right. I will watch over Hagar and Ishmael myself. And so they were sent away. But here, Paul, he draws this comparison. He is saying, essentially, as Jesus would also, if your hand offend you, if it leads you into sin, cut it off. Or if your eye offends you, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life without that hand or without that eyeball. Now, was Jesus really saying, okay, get out the sword, get out and gouge out your eye? He was most definitely pointing out that we must be very careful about our spiritual walk. We must be very careful about these things and not treat them as trivial, non-important, secondary matters of life. I would not wish for anyone to cut off their hand or to gouge out their eye, by no means. But I would want to grab a hold of people by the shoulders and shake them and say, listen to what I speak to you, and hear the words of life. Paul, he was saying, these who have sought to lead you astray, send them packing. Send them out the door. Let them go on their way. Do not give them a moment of your time. They are seeking to destroy you. Jesus himself said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And these were emissaries of the devil. They were seeking to steal joy. They were seeking to take away the confidence that these had. They were seeking to destroy these by making these individuals, these believers, their captives. Paul concludes Galatians chapter 4 by saying, so then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. And he's saying, what a privilege it is to know God's salvation. Do you know the salvation that is by grace through faith? By grace alone that you are saved. It's God extending his hand to you. It's not you reaching up and grabbing a hold of God's hand and saying, hey, pay attention to me. It's God reaching down to you. You couldn't reach up because you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That was the common lot of every one of us. It was God reaching down in his love, in his kindness to us. And it is by the door of faith. It's not by the door of works. It's not by the door of payment that we come into God's presence. It's by the door of faith. Faith that sees that God is true and that everything in this world that would speak counter, that would speak to the opposite, is a lie of the devil. God is true. I bid you to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and to trust in him and to know that it is his plan of salvation. It is his beautiful work that we might be the children of promise. Bow with me, please, in prayer. Lord, we do give you thanks and praise for the privilege of hearing your word and of delighting ourselves in it. We rejoice in what Paul wrote here, that we as believers in Jesus Christ, as those who have taken up our cross and following after our Master and Savior, Lord, we are children of promise. And what promises there are in your word. We delight in each and every one of them. So, Lord, continue to work in our hearts and lives, drawing us to yourself. And for those who now come before you for the very first time, may joy unspeakable flood into their hearts and lives, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Hearts to Believe. For over 20 years, Jonathan Kvist has been the bass in our men's quartet and has also been a rich blessing through his solo work. We are delighted to announce a new collection of 13 songs Jonathan has especially enjoyed singing and has himself chosen for this CD called Blessed Assurance. You will enjoy hearing Jonathan sing I'd Rather Have Jesus, In the Sweet By and By, Just a Whispered Prayer, I Need Thee Every Hour, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Leave Your Heavy Burden at the Cross, Something Beautiful, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Written in Red, What a Day That Will Be, The Old Rugged Cross in both Russian and English, Someone Is Praying for You, and of course the title song, Blessed Assurance. Ask for your free copy of Blessed Assurance when you write this week to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C2H6, or call us toll-free at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Pastor Jim Barber. We leave you now with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.